Take your Bibles and go to Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2. I said it again, didn't I? Take your Bibles, okay. And some use their iPads. We talked about that this morning. I'm not even going to go there again. But some use the iPad, and that's good. You can enlarge that thing. People my age like them enlarged, you know. And so it's just one of those things. But we're in Psalms chapter 2 on this that we called, we titled about 3,000 years ago. Okay, 3,000 years ago, a prophecy for today. And we're seeing those things come to pass. And so I'll just read the text here again, verses 1 through 3 of Psalms chapter 2. He says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." And we won't go any further than that right tonight. But it says there in that verse, they were set. They have set themselves. In other words, just like set in concrete. We're not moving from this position. The kings, the leadership of all the world says this is what we're going to do. Well, we'll get into the message here, but let's have a word of prayer first. Father, I pray as we delve into your word tonight that it would be clear, it would be understandable for each person here this evening. I pray, Lord, thy Holy Spirit would speak to each heart. Lord, if there is one in this auditorium or watching by a live stream or listening on radio, that's just simply not sure that if they died today that heaven's their home, I pray that tonight would be the time they come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And Lord, what a wonderful thing salvation is. Families part by death here on earth, but in heaven, if they're all saved, there's a great reunion with Christ. And so Lord, we thank you for that we would be just conscious to have all of our loved ones brought to Jesus Christ, who may be without him tonight, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. Okay, this morning when we got to looking at this thing, we were seeing that the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his people. And of course, in taking that counsel together against the Lord and his people, we find out that, really, it's worldwide. It's a worldwide thing that's going on, because we find that today this Psalms, the second Psalm, is really talking about that. They referred to him as the Lord. Remember we told you this morning, all capital letters for the Lord in your King James Bible. Why? Because the actual Hebrew in the Masoretic text from which the Bible is translated into the King James, and was way back there in 1611, actually before that, there were those, Tyndale, he was doing that from that same text, and a lot of the King James people used his notes to help them. But nonetheless, Lord referred to Jehovah and the anointed Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. And so it's interesting that right there, even the Jewish people back 3,000 years ago had this indication of these things that would be going on. And so, again, they rise up against Jehovah and his Christ. And you think of today, we've been blocked on different occasions. We used to get about 800 downloads a month or more, and often more, from just the country of China alone. Now, they block us. I mean, they work at blocking us. Now, there's some that know how to go underground and get in other ways, but we've had it blocked in some Muslim countries. We've had it blocked in North Korea. And it's just kind of, let's keep that out of here. And so you have people like Russia and the Muslim nations and all that. And really, when you think of Russia, they, over the years, persecuted, put Christians to death. I remember reading the book by Sergei Kordikov, who the Russian, you might say their mafia type of group, had a death threat out on him. He received Christ as Savior at one time. He is one of those guys that was the captain that led those into the churches, the secret churches that were meeting and worshiping God. And they would break them up and really take them off, arrest them, beat them, and all kind of things like that. He's one told of being at a baptism and they drowned the pastor and the people getting baptized just for turning to Jesus Christ. And so that was back in Russia. That's a part of Marxism, communism. That's a part of what that is. And so you see, with Muslims going the same way, as a matter of fact, in the Quran, you find that Thomas Jefferson, when he read the Quran, he started talking to the people that were Muslims that he knew. And they said, well, we don't hate Christians, but the Quran does tell us to kill those that reject Allah, that reject our faith. We're to kill them. It's not that we want to. That's what we're commanded to do. So when I think back on all of those things of that nature, I say, wow, here are people that just really have their religion hated God. And you see Marxism, so it's not just religions, it's things of like socialism, Marxism, communism. Those are things that are all the same stripe. And now you see the world, as we pointed out this morning, you've got global warming, you got pandemics, you got everything. They get together and they try to manipulate the rest of the world and gather them together. And yet it seems like in all of those things, do you remember during the COVID that the strip clubs were essential, bars were essential, but churches weren't? Okay. Now, we stayed open. We never did close, but nonetheless, we live in a state where we didn't have to get arrested for it. Okay. But there are places that lived in, people that lived in places where they were getting arrested for it. So the world's strategy is right here before us. And in verse 3, you see what their purpose is. It says, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. And they look at themselves that because of these morals, because of the family structure, because of that that was been set from the Word of God for time, eternity, that from eternity past or from the beginning of man, and when God set things up and throughout the Word of God, moral standards, so that any nation forgets God, God will judge, the Bible tells us. And so as nations go away from that and they're going together because they look at anything that's moral, anything that's righteous, anything that's good as a band, as cords, tying them down, that they can't exercise the full desires of the flesh. And that's the way it is. And we're taught about this 3,000 years ago in this very passage. And speaking of the when he said they're the anointed, that refers to Christ the Messiah. When he's speaking of that, he's speaking of Lord Jehovah, and then the anointed Messiah, Jesus Christ. And the world is going against God. And so now we see a gathering of the movers and the shakers are gathering together with a specific goal to just really destroy anything that is associated with Almighty God. And they want to turn to a Babylonian-type religion, as we mentioned earlier in the Quran, where it destroys all that has anything to do with God. And they have their own gods. It's in the tribulation period when you have the world leader, the Antichrist. More accurately, Revelation identifies him as the beast, but demands the worship of the world of him, but not just of him, of the dragon, that old serpent, the devil, Satan himself. And they want that to be the worship of the world and eliminate all who would turn to Jesus Christ. And you find that in that tribulation period in Revelation chapter 6, you have the judgment of the opening of the seals. The apostle John was the man there that's writing down these words, and he's seeing these things and begins to weep because nobody is found worthy to open that book that was a sealed book with seven seals. But Jesus opens. And boy, when he does it. And you see then the seven judgments that's going out from that point forward, the seven sealed judgments. There are terrors that go out from the four horsemen of the apocalypse, as they're often referred to in Revelation chapter 6. The people refer to it in that manner. And the world, with its false leaders, those people who are trying to turn the whole world. You see, after the rapture, those that are here on earth, according to 1 Thessalonians, there are people that are here on earth that have not heard the gospel today. Worldwide, there are people that have not heard the gospel. There's people in America that have not heard the gospel presentation. I've led people to the Lord, and others have led people to the Lord, and seen people getting saved the first time they ever heard the gospel. And you think, boy, that shouldn't be like that in America, but that is true. That is true. People have gotten saved in America. And, you know, if people have heard the gospel and they've rejected it, 1 Thessalonians lets us know, and really when you read 1 and 2 Thessalonians, it lets us pretty well know that they can't be saved during the tribulation. They had their opportunity. They heard. They knew the way of salvation, but they rejected it. To reject salvation, and then the Lord comes and raptures his own, you're left behind, and you can't be saved during the tribulation. Now, there are people that never heard, and they will be saved during the tribulation. They'll have that opportunity to be saved, but it might cost them in this life of theirs, it might cost them their head. Because in the tribulation hour, to show you how civilized and responsible they are, they'll be beheading people, burning people, doing all types of things to them who turn to Christ, starving them to death. It's all in the book. Say, well, it's kind of hard to believe. Well, it might be hard to believe what we've said about these things about the world leaders getting together, and that's not too hard to believe now. But that was written 3,000 years ago. So the Lord, when he makes a prediction, it's never wrong. He told about the coming of Christ, said where he would be born. Herod and all the others tried to stop it, but they couldn't. They could not stop it at all. And so they get to moving. And then there were those leaders of Israel back in the day of Jesus Christ here on the earth. They got together. These are the religious leaders. Got together with the governmental leaders, Pilate. Pilate, when he saw through it, did not want to go through with it. But it was that or lose his position. He feared people more than he feared God. And so Jesus is beaten with that Roman cat of nine tails. But it's by his stripes that we are healed. I've actually sat in that judgment hall. I've stood in there, prayed in there, preached in there. And listen, I can't ever get used to it. I've been in there when you know that within 50 feet, wherever you're standing in that hall, Jesus was whipped with that Roman cat of nine tails for my sin. That's just something that's hard to get out of your heart and mind. But you see the love of God in doing it for you and then making that walk from there all the way up to Golgotha to see where Christ was crucified. But those people led the Jews to crucify Jesus. They said, well, Jesus is going to raise again from the dead. Well, we'll prevent that. We've got the world's best armies, the number one armies in the world. We're going to put them all around that tomb, and there is no way. They can't come in and steal him during the night, steal his body, and say that he arose. But guess what? When it happened, every one of those big, burly, tough Roman soldiers fainted dead away. And Jesus just walked out. And so there was nothing there to prevent or could prevent his resurrection, even with the soldiers of the world's best army of that day. And neither when Jesus comes back again and the saints are coming back with him after they've been raptured and they've spent that time up there while the tribulation's been going on earth, and then the Lord decides he's going to come back. Oh, the world will again get together. We're going to stop this. But their nuclear weaponry cannot prevent the return of Jesus Christ. And their desire to finish off the armies of heaven will only find as they gather in that valley of Armageddon. And many of you have been with me that have gone with me to Israel. And we've stood on top of that mountain and looked down to that great fertile valley. But that fertile valley in that day will flow with blood that will go to the horse's bridle, the Bible says. In all their plans to stop Jesus Christ, not even their nuclear weaponry can stop Christ. And there'll be nothing they can do to stop it. And so instead of getting the blood of Jesus, what's happening? It is their blood that flows to the horse's bridle back in that day, that huge, long valley of Megiddo that we call Armageddon. The kings, the rulers of the world, they're taking counsel together. They believe that not only the leaders, but we believe that the top military minds and the top minds of science, they've gathered together. But they've never seen in their lifetimes the almighty authority and strength, the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that when the time is up, they've been given a 1,000-year reign on earth, then Satan will be loosed from his prison. He'll go out and deceive nations once again, even knowing the history of what happened. Even knowing the history of Armageddon and everything happened there, and the return of Christ, the building of the new temple, all that happened, and 1,000 years of prosperity of their crops, of their health. And on you could go. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 11, the lion shall lay down with the lamb. Just think of that. A little child shall be able to lead them. Can even play on the hole of the asp, that is the snake hole. And that snake won't bother them at all. Just think of that. They'll have 1,000 years of that. And then Satan will be able to go out and convince them, hey, look, I'm not down there anymore. They could only hold me so long. I'm out. They think that Satan got out in his own power. God let him out. He even commanded, let him go. And it proved that people didn't have a real decision for Christ. And they'll be gathered around Jerusalem. They're going to destroy it. But fire comes down from heaven and destroys them. As a matter of fact, God then, people say he can't create anything. He didn't create. Everything just come here because a bunch of gases exploded and then there's planets and stars and people. That makes a lot of sense. If that was true science, then you could demonstrate it every day because science can be proved by the demonstration they said that brought it about. But you see, they can't. They never have. They never will. But the Lord will prove his part because he's going to create a new heavens and new earth. When he comes back, 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us that the elements will melt with fervent heat. You know, elements, even in its Greek rendering, has the idea of the smallest parts of matter. Atoms. Man boasts of being able to split an atom. In the weaponry they have and what they can do. But our Lord will not need science. He will not need machinery. Oh, the nucleus of the atom. And it's always moving around in those atoms. You might say there's always life in an atom. And it's always moving around, but it's when they separate it. The explosion takes place. The Lord will command, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And then there's going to be a new creation, a new heaven, and a new earth. Don't you know the Lord made a place for us to rule as kings and priests? I believe it'll be in that new kingdom. It's the Lord's will. It's the Lord's way. 3,000 years ago, the Lord was telling us that we might be have a way of providing to have eternal life through the anointed, that is the Messiah, the Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins. You know, tonight we have a baptism, and we had a baptism chapels and things like that, and that's great. But don't miss that we do baptism. It doesn't save us, but it does identify. Just think, they hated baptism in the Bible days. They wanted to kill people. You know, a lot of Baptists were killed by Catholics and even some Lutheran because they baptized by immersion. They said, well, we sprinkled those babies when they got born, so they don't need to be baptized. No, baptism comes after salvation. It identifies you with Jesus Christ. It identifies what he did for you. You're saying, Christ died for me. He was buried and he rose from the dead, and I'm identifying with Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Savior. I am buried with him in baptism, and now I'm risen to walk in newness of life because he has cleansed me by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has given me everlasting life. He has fully forgiven me. And look at Paul. He's a murderer, but he's fully forgiven and he's used of God mightily. Hey, remember, the walls of Jericho fall down. And there's that gal in there who helped the spies of Israel. She's called Rahab the harlot. Even in the New Testament, they use that terminology of her. And sometimes I'd wondered, why would you use the terminology when she's been cleansed, when she's been saved, when she's been changed, and even the line of Christ came down as a result through that. Why would the Bible say that? I know God breathed out the words, but why? Because we're reminded what we're saved from and what God can do. Even a woman of that degree was cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is not one person in this auditorium. There's not one person watching on live stream. There's not one person listening on the radio today that their sins have been so many and so bad and so terrible that Jesus Christ can't save you. If you turn to him in repentance and faith, he'll give you everlasting life. Give your heart and life to him. And there is salvation in the blood of Jesus Christ, the shed blood. Having received him as your Savior, there is total forgiveness of all sin for all time. People that tell me, well, I think some are predestined to go to heaven, some are predestined to go to hell. And yet, as we've told you before, 1 John chapter 2 says that he died not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Why would you die for the sins of the whole world if you've already designated a lot of them to go to hell anyway? Doesn't make sense. So it's not God that doesn't make sense. It's people that don't make sense that come up with those idiotic ideas because they're not looking at the Word of God rightly. And so, regardless of how much evil thoughts that we don't want anybody to know, let alone actions, he paid it all. My goodness. He died for every sin I ever have or ever will commit, and he did that even before I was born. But because he knows all, known unto God are all his works from the beginning, and because he knows all things from the beginning of the creation, and he knew I would sin, he would know all the things, my thoughts, my downsettings, my uprisings. He even said if I made my bed in hell, I couldn't hide from him. He paid the penalty. Mine was to believe it and to turn from myself and sin and turn to Jesus Christ and eternal life. And he saved me. And he'll save anyone that will come to him. All the rulers of this world, they're taking counsel together, we read in our text. But not only the leaders, but the top military minds, as we said, all of science, they're all gathered together. They think that they can stop what's going to happen in 2 Peter chapter 3 of the elements melting with fervent heat, but they won't be doing it. And here we're prepared for it. We should get prepared for it because here we are 3,000 years ago being warned about it. And the Lord is providing a way for all men to be saved through the Messiah. And you might be here tonight saying, well, I am saved. I know that if I die tonight that heaven's my home. Do you know that the heart of God is? It's found in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning our promise, as some men counts. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, not our promise, his promise. Not willing that any should perish, that is to go to hell, but that all might come to repentance. All might come to repentance. All might come to faith in him, trusting him with their lives. He rose from the dead that we might have everlasting life, but he paid the penalty first. People are still trying to work against God. You know, in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 30 and 31, we find something that many men, they call themselves theologians, they call themselves pastors, and people across this country that have looked at the churches and the old, that had standards, that had morals, that took stands for Jesus Christ, and they say, oh, look at all those standards and all that. Those people are a bunch of legalists, and they call you a bunch of names like that. You know, they just like to call you names. That's the way they work. But they never evidently read this verse. They did. It was too far above them. For there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. But safety is of the Lord. You cannot prepare for that day without Jesus Christ. The Christian will be caught up in the rapture. But think of what it's like to be caught up in the rapture, to see the Lord. And after you see the Lord is there, then you look. You're seeing the beauties of heaven. You're seeing those saints of ages past. You're seeing Moses. You're seeing Samson. You're seeing Paul. Great men. But the sight of Jesus that you're seeing. Oh, we'll have a judgment seat of Christ, which is only for saved people. That judgment is determined reward. You know, I've heard people say it. And say, preacher, that's just being legalistic to say, well, you need to be there when the church doors are open. No, if you're having services Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I don't need to be there if I can be. I don't need to be there for revival meetings if I can be. Oh, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, that very strong imperative command that is given to us, yet saying, no, that's not that important. God understands me. Oh, the shame and the embarrassment when you're standing before him and all heaven is seeing that. When the hidden things of darkness are revealed, that were not made right with people, that were not made right in your life, that were not made right with whatever it needed to be made right with. And it's revealed clearly. The Bible says that all of our works as Christians will be tried by fire, and some will be saved so as by fire. That is, you're not in hell. You're in heaven. But rewards, you'll see, count the loss, you'll see the rewards that was there that he had planned for you. That's why in the parable Jesus said, take from him that hath the one and give it to him that hath the ten. See, that guy that had the one got the same reward, got the same receiving gift to use, and he didn't use it. The other increased his. And because he increased his, God said, okay, take what was going to give to him and give it all to him. Some even then said, well, hey, he only has one. This guy has ten. He said, yeah. Yeah. He served. He did what he was supposed to do. This guy just hid what he had in the ground. And I kind of think that in the ground is he hid it in the world so he didn't have to serve the Lord publicly. But you know, worse than that, judgment seat of Christ, I mean, you're still in heaven. You're still saved. Worse than that will be the white throne judgment of God, where all the unsaved are judged. And in that white throne judgment, you'll see people there that you may have worked with, maybe family members, maybe others that you had contact with, people that you know, never gave them a tract, never witnessed the gospel to them, never even tried to get them to come to church, maybe invited them one time, they didn't, so you never tried again. And they're going to be standing there without Christ. They never got saved, and they weren't tried. And you were there. You were part of it. You were part of their life. They knew you. You knew them. And the command is given after they're showing their works why they deserve to be in that eternal lake of fire where man is tormented day and night forever and ever, and there's no escape. And he never ceases to exist. That spirit living forever, tormented. And they start to cast him, and the command is given to cast him into that eternal lake of fire. And they look at you. Why didn't you tell me? That'll be hard. But you know what's going to be harder? Jesus Christ is going to look at you. I gave you the Word of God. I gave you a church. I gave you a way to lead others to Christ. I gave you tracts. And to protect your own self, you might say, although you're trying to protect what people think of you. You want them to like you. And there's nothing wrong with wanting people to like you, but not at the compromise of your morals and then your responsibility to be a witness for Christ. Then that's sin. Some people, a lot of people may not believe that are saved. But at the judgment seat of Christ, and then at the white throne judgment, that becomes so true. And you know what the thing is, though? You can do something about it now. You can say, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. He will save you if you're not saved. If you come to him. Look, he died on the cross for each of us publicly. Stripped naked. Died there, shed his blood for my sin, for all of our sin. And he wants to save you. Don't have allowed the fear of man to be greater than your fear of God. Get things right as a Christian if it's not right. And then if you're not sure you're saved, oh, don't worry about what people will think. What people will think will have no bearing on heaven. If they think wrongly, that will be revealed about them, and it will not be a good day for them. Christ can save you, and he can do it tonight if you'll come to him. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, I pray now, if there's anyone in this auditorium who is not sure that they died today, that heaven's their home, may today be the day. This night, this evening, this place, in this invitation, be the time they leave their seat and walk down to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They'll just come here and meet me and say, I want to be saved. And I can direct them to those people that will help them. And then for Christians, Lord, that just need to come up here and bow down here at the front and pray and just confess things to you, or they may need somebody to pray with them. And they'll come to me and just say, I need somebody, another Christian, to pray with me, and we'll do that, Lord. Oh, Lord, I just pray that they'll do the right thing. In Jesus' name, amen.